Welcome, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us for the Primal Portal, birthing a new era of sacred feminine power. I'm your host and guide, Amorakai Kimberly Fenn, and I'm so happy you're here with us for this truly incredible global gathering. The Primal Portal is really space, right? A space where we get to explore what truly becomes possible when we reconnect with our sacred feminine power and our instinctual, intuitive guidance that speaks to us through our bodies, through our inner worlds. Through these conversations we're having in the portal, these guided rituals and shared practices, we're really rediscovering how to tune in to that deeper guidance, that intelligence that often reveals itself, rather, through images, through patterns and symbols, and even our dreams. And as we learn to even more deeply trust ourselves in these more subtle forms of inner knowing, we really begin living much more consciously, much more creatively, which plays such a powerful role in shaping the new era that is already unfolding on this planet. And that is why it is such a joy for me to welcome Dr. Tarya Ward into our gathering today. Hi, Tarya. I'm truly glad you're here.
Hello, Amor. I'm so happy to be here with you. Thank you. Thank you for your invitation and great blessings and greetings to all of your guests.
Thank you. I feel that. It's going to be an amazing, amazing day. Let me just share, for those of you meeting Dr. Tarya Ward for the first time, she is in private practice offering dream analysis and psychological and spiritual guidance to clients all over the world. She has worked intensively with her own and others' dreams for more than 50 years, and for nearly 30 years has been a devoted student of Indigenous ways of knowing and being. There is such a wealth of wisdom here. I'm so grateful. Alongside her one-on-one work with clients, she also hosts a monthly global community dream symposium where people from all over the world gather to share their dreams and listen together to what she calls the collective dreaming mind. And we're going to get a little bit more into that later, which I'm so excited about. Tarya also facilitates small private dream groups. She teaches through lectures and interviews, and she offers private oracular readings upon request. I am so truly excited that she's here today to talk with us all about confronting the void, establishing a relationship with the not yet known. I could not think of a better time in our world, in our life experience, for us to be having this conversation. So, dearest Tarya, your work really explores the world of dreams and the deeper layers of the psyche, the symbolic language that often speaks to us beneath the surface of our everyday awareness, you might say. So I'd really love to begin by asking what inspired you to bring the topic of confronting the void into our gathering today, and maybe what this theme means to you personally.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's a lovely question. Yes, it's becoming more and more profoundly personal. You know, this, I realize it's been sort of a through line through my whole life, this relationship with the void that I've been, you know, following and nurturing kind of without knowing. But when I look back at all the themes of my life, it's been there. And I will say, when I received your beautiful invitation for this summit that you're creating, this tremendous, topic that you have chosen, I just felt so like thrilled that you're creating this space for this subject of the primal portal right now, and living into these times of just the transformation of everything. And I doubt if there's a soul on this planet who isn't aware of it at some level. And I think all the inspiration and conversation and mutual support and ICU kind of thing that we can do in these sessions is going to be, you know, really helpful for everyone. So when I received your invitation, that topic came to me. What was it? Confronting the void, establishing a relationship with the not yet known. And I had some ideas in mind that I was working with, and it probably is going to be a similar, but between the time I created this topic and started my thoughts about it, I went to Egypt, and I spent almost the whole month of February in Egypt. I'm just back. I'm hardly getting over the jet lag at this moment, so it's all very fresh and raw and real. And I realized the Egypt story is probably what I'm gonna wanna talk about and bring here. So I have that story to tell, and it's very related to the portal idea and to confronting the void. And so you'll see what I mean as we go.
Lucky us.
Let me just start with saying, when an image just ignites you, something, like it's like all of your emotions and thoughts and experiences can sort of constellate around that image. And so I'm going to share a couple of images, a few images. I'm not good. I'm going to apologize to your guests. I'm not good at doing the share screen thing, so I'm just going to show you on the picture, on the camera, and I think it'll be fine. There was an image that started, and I'll explain the genesis of it. But 4 years ago, almost exactly 4 years ago, I went to Egypt for the first time, and I'll tell that story. And then this February is the second time. So when I went to Egypt the first time, I was very excited. I was it was my first time. I was very intrigued with the mysteries of ancient Egypt, all the there is to know, and that, again, the void, that we don't know about ancient Egypt is right there in front of us, and nobody can explain it. They don't know how these pyramids were built. They can't reproduce it. They don't know the technologies. They don't know the inner technologies that they were using then. It's like it's clear that these stories and wisdom is there, and we're start trying to reconnect with it. So I was very intrigued. So the first night, I went like probably 3 days early, just so I could get into the time zone before, putting myself in the group, schedule. So the first night I'm there, I can't believe I'm actually in Egypt, that I'm breathing the air. This is the sky as it looks from Egypt. I was just like thrilled. And I was all alone. I hadn't met anybody yet. And so I was all alone on this patio in the hotel I was staying in. And as I sat there at the table, see if you can see this image.
Oh, wow,
Can you
yes.
kind of see this image?
I sure
It was
can.
right across from me. There was a garden there, and there was this portal. It was just, and it's almost like it was haunting me. It was so beautiful and so intriguing. And even in this picture, it doesn't look quite as dark there as it was when I sat there and took this picture. It was like this beautiful, lighted, flowery arbor, and then this dark portal. And I just sat and I felt, this is what I'm saying about the image, where everything starts to constellate around this image. And it's almost like my whole trip was like, this was like riveting me. What is this image of this portal, this sort of calling into the void, like you're like the topic here, it's like and so that was happening, and there were a couple other places there that were similar. That was sort of the beginning. And then, as I was joining the trip and going to the beautiful temples and places in Egypt, I was introduced to these, which are called false doors. And here's a picture of one of them. They're everywhere on the in the all the different temples and places. You'll find them everywhere. And again, can you see this?
Oh yeah.
It's called a false door, or a ka door, and they're everywhere. And this little portal right here is the false door, and they believe that that is where the dead come into our realm. Those They visit us in our realm through this portal, and also we can go through that portal into the realm of the dead. And so they would make offerings of food and drink and so forth to their, their loved ones on the other side or the deities on the other side. And these are just honored everywhere. So certainly, these two started working me. And the ka body in the Egyptian language and mythology is that body of us that is spirit, that is, that could go through the door like that. So I was feeling called into this sort of void the whole time. It's like I'm trying to, get details and histories and stories and collect all the information, that I could. But basically, it was like the absence of all that was what was actually calling to me. It was so interesting. And then right away, Egypt did this to me. I can't say exactly why, but it felt like everything I know, Amor, everything I know was nothing, like nothing. Like I've worked my whole life, to get lots of experiences, lots of travels, an education, a PhD. I've worked with elders and shamans for years and years and years. I've done teaching, lecturing, and it seemed like every little bit of everything I know and think I am is nothing. It's not even real. It doesn't even matter. It's just like this illusion. And here I was, like having, and then I was realizing to go through that ka door or one of these portals, you have to drop not only your physical body, but your mind. All of your concepts, all of your ideas, all of your thoughts, they don't get to go with you into this other realm. You have to really, really erase and release all of that. The whole illusion of all of this life of experience and knowledge and education and everything is just like in this world, it doesn't matter. So anyway, I was dealing with that. Now, here's the story about that. About 4 days into this trip in 2021, I got very ill. Very ill. And we had just flown from Cairo down to Luxor when I started realizing I was sick. And it was a kind of illness that was coming on very mysteriously. I was sitting in a restaurant with my friend Jocelyn, and I said, "Why is it so cold in here?" I felt like I was sitting in that freezer, not a refrigerator, but a freezer. I just could not believe it was so cold in that restaurant. She said, "It's not cold. It's not cold." And then I realized, oh my God, something's happening to me. And then I started shaking. So I went into this illness, and the illness kind of took over. I thought it was going to be just maybe 2 or 3 days and then I'd be fine, but I had to stop being able to go to any of the places. And then I went to this place, Amor, where I think I did die, honestly. It's like I went to that edge where I realized, okay, so this is what it is. There's no energy in my body, none, zero, not to breathe, not to think, not anything. And I wasn't scared, not one bit. It's like, oh, okay, so this is it. This is what it is. I wasn't afraid, but I really had no life. The life had left my body. And then it started coming back, just like little bits of breath. But I finally realized I needed to come home. And so I flew back to Cairo. I changed all my flights and I was going to come back. Got myself together enough to go to Cairo. And on the way back to Cairo, I started feeling better. And then it just was like by the time I'd spent the night in Cairo getting ready for the airplane the next day, I was better. And then I thought, I'm not going back to North Carolina if I feel all right. The group was coming back up to Cairo. We were going to go into the pyramids and the King's Chamber and all that on the end of the trip. So I thought, I'm just going to stay here. So what I ended up doing for, I think, 6, 7, 8 days, I can't remember exactly, I stayed on the Giza Plateau. I stayed in a little funky hotel right across from the plateau. And there I was. It was just me and the pyramids for alone for all those days, and it was like integrating the experience of having died. And then I realized this is what they did in ancient Egypt. They took you to the edge of death. They took you to have the experience of death, and then they brought you back. And I realized my guides had put me through this for a purpose. Like I was meant to go into that void, into through that portal, and come back. So I, you know, and I thought for, you know, I had this quiet of just being with myself with these ancient pyramids for several days all by myself. And it was just such a phenomenal experience. So there you go, right?
It's
All right. So
incredible.
fast forward, and I the idea comes up to go to Egypt the second time, which is was just, you know, this past month of February. That was just, we're recording this on March 10th. So, you know, I just got back. And so as I watched this film, Hamnet, have you seen that film?
I'm going this week. I haven't seen it yet. I'm going this
Oh
week.
my God. Oh my God. It just affected me
Really? I can't wait.
so profoundly. And this was just, you know, in the time when I was sort of realizing, oh my God, I'm going back to Egypt. It's gonna happen. And in that film, I was just, you know, like taken into other worlds completely. It's so powerfully, emotionally exquisite. You know, I just can't say enough about it. And in the final scene of the film, there's a stage where a play is happening. And see, can you see this image? That portal was there, you know. So here I was open. This is after the movie had just sort of wrecked me completely open. And there's that image, and it just haunted me. It's almost like it was calling me, just like this other one had. You know, it was just like it was calling me. And I thought, oh my gosh, you know, there it is again. I'm just getting ready to go to Egypt, and there's that image. So I put these two on my altar, and I just kept, you know, I kept working with, okay, so what is it that you want me to know? Now I'm going again. I certainly don't want to get sick again. Oh my God, please, God. And then I found this in an old, actually, it was an old Bible that I'd had when 30 years ago. I found this image, and this is the Christ coming through a door. And I felt, for some reason, I felt like that was coming through the false door, through the portal there. And so I put these three images together on my altar, and it was like this new consciousness that's absolutely being born now, out of all this connection with the portal, with the void. You know, there's this whole new consciousness that's being born. So these three images were working on me. And then, okay, so I think my last one here that I wanted to show you, when I got to Egypt this time, this image came to me. This is an image that's, it's a painting by Arthur Hacker called The Annunciation, and it's on by the side of my bed. And can you see, this is, I know the light is kind of funny, but can you see that
Sitting.
angel whispering in her ear?
I can right
You
there.
can see that? Can you see that?
Yeah, it
This
looks
is
like
right
God's head.
beside my bed. And I keep this beside me because I've had that experience of just like something whispering in your ear. And I love this image, and it just gives me, it's like, yes, this does happen, you know, these, you know. And so when I got to Egypt, I was, this whispering came just like that. And it said, the last trip was about death. This trip is about life. And that was just after I got there. And I thought, okay. But then I realized it's about the life of death, you know, death in life. It's like death is not what we think of it as, you know, get rid of our concepts about this. It's just going through a portal. It's just in another dimension. It's life. And it, you know, we, it, so we can go in and out of that realm. And then, and I think knowing that, having, you know, loved ones on the other side helps us to understand that we're multidimensional beings. So it's not just that realm, but it's, there's so many dimensions and realms. And once you know that, then you can go into these multi dimensions and just feel confident and comfortable. And in the beyond thought, all of our, like I used to, we're letting go of all of the personality, all the biography, all the stuff, and going into these other dimensions. And then I feel like that's what the new consciousness is, that will, it's like we have this grounding in our biography because we do have to pay the rent and do our jobs and drive a car and, all these things. But to know ourselves as these beings who are so fully alive and aware and awake in these other dimensions.
Oh, music to my heart. There's just so much here. First of all, thank you for sharing at such a personal level your experiences. They are so relatable and so astounding all at the same time. I appreciate it deeply. But the biggest thing I hear you saying, and in relation to what's going on, and also in relation to what I hear from other people, is this idea that we can be both. There's so much
Right.
polarization sometimes of, oh, I'm a spirit. Oh, no, I'm this human personality. Oh, I'm this identification. Oh, no, I'm this everything. And the reality is there's a bothness, there's an andness that gives us access. And so the fact that you are so awake and alive in the conversation between you and you, between
Right.
you and you,
Right.
is, I think, what so many of us are so desperately, sometimes almost unconsciously, searching for, yearning for, even. And it's that being awake and alive in relationship to having this conversation and being open to these experiences. Confronting death at every and any level is really it, right? And you hear so many stories about people with near-death experiences and how they come back with very similarly with this whole new way, almost like a new operating system, and how they interface with what they believe life is, and it's
Yeah, that's a good way to
everything,
say it.
right? Access to all these other applications. It's incredible. And so, okay, one piece. I know you have a PhD in depth psychology. Just for anybody that doesn't know what depth psychology is, would you mind just sharing a little bit about what it is, but also, in relation to what we're speaking, what does it have to offer us in general?
Well, depth psychology, I was so attracted to depth psychology. I had been a minister for 20 years and studied all the world's religions. So always had this relationships to the mystics and the saints and reading the Upanishads and the Gita and the Bible and the all of them, and just so. And then when I resigned from the ministry, the one thing that I had done while I was in the ministry was study dreams. And I'll talk more about dreams in a minute, but so after I resigned from the ministry, after 20 years there, I was like, what's next? I knew something was next after, all of that, sort of passionate love and interest I had in these other dimensions and realms that you learn through the world's religions and the connection and the relationship with it all. And then I saw an ad for Pacifica Graduate Institute was just starting a brand new PhD program in depth psychology. And I thought, the minute I saw that on the page, I mean, it wasn't 10 seconds before I knew I was going to do that. I was going to sign up for this PhD program. So that's what called to me. Now, depth psychology, for one thing, I had studied dreams through this sort of more spiritual sort of like understanding of what they're about. I wanted to know what Freud and Jung had to say, the more scientific view of understanding the nature of dreams, what they're about, what they're for. So I thought that's what I wanted to study. And that's what depth psychology is. It's a psychology of the unconscious, so it's to know that most of who we are is not part of what we can define in our conscious mind. So again, our relationship with the void, what that's like. So it's all these different methods of knowing how what is driving our behavior, our emotions, our perceptions, our symptoms, whether they're mental or emotional or psychological or physical, that there's unconscious material that is within and behind all that. So I wanted to study the ways of getting into relationship, you know, our anxieties, our depressions, our joys, whatever it is, it's so much of it is coming from the un it is rooted in the unconscious and the unknown. And so how do we get in relationship to that so that we can start to work with it more consciously? And one of Jung's statements that I always remember and think of is he said, the purpose of life is to make the unconscious conscious.
Ooh, I love that.
Isn't that good? It's like
Love
that's our purpose, you
that.
know? And if we're doing that, then we're living a purpose. A good purpose is just trying to make what's driving us in the unconscious dimensions and realms to get into a conscious relationship with that. And that to me is that they're that Christ door, that new consciousness that's coming in. It's a consciousness where we're not splitting off our waking personality from our, you know, from our unconscious. So
Oh, I love that. That reminds
isn't
me, I get the image of an iceberg always when I talk about conscious and subconscious. You know, you see the little tip of the iceberg above the water, that's your conscious waking. And then underneath the surface is the berg. I mean, this
right.
whole realm. And to have
Exactly.
access to all of it instead of feeling split between the two or torn or polarized, that's a really beautiful, powerful, harmonizing evolution on how we get to show up in life and relate to it and be in relationship with it. That's so powerful. Wow.
Isn't that powerful? Yeah. So I was privileged and intrigued and excited to study that. And I was going through at the time, you know, the dissolution of my ministry, you know, so it was like I sort of melted everything I thought I was, that I thought I was going to do for the rest of my life. And as it turned out, then the dissolution of my marriage. So I was being held, you know, it was like I was really going into the void. I mean, everything I thought I was permanent in my life, both of those I thought were permanent, and they were gone. And with that, you know, my identity, my sense of self and purpose, all that. So anyway, the study of depth psychology ended up, you know, saving my life in a certain way. And Freud pretty much deals with the personal unconscious, Jung with the collective unconscious. So I've done a lot of work with that, you know, what the collective unconscious is about.
I can't wait to ask you about that because I'm so fascinated by this concept. Often we find one or the other, and usually it's the more personal. So I'm very drawn to the collective ideas surrounding all these things. I'm so grateful you're here. Just before
Good.
we dive into that, though, I do want to take a brief moment to honor you and anybody else going through that dissolution process. I've been
Right.
through it. We've all been through it in some way. It is real. It's uncomfortable. It's scary. And there's a fierce compassion that we can hold around ourselves as we go through this. And the more that we can open and accept, as uncomfortable as it is, you sort of the more the easier it is on us sometimes. Like I listened to your story about being sick in Egypt and what that must have felt like and everything going through your head at the time and how you opened to it and got that exquisite time alone, that exquisite experience, that transformational journey. I mean that really is something. So I just wanted to honor you for that. It's not an easy thing to do. And yet the other side, there's such a wealth of wisdom, not just for yourself, but for all of us that of course you're here sharing. So thank you.
Right. Yeah. And hopefully our stories, you just briefly mentioned yours, but you know, will help support anybody who's, you know,
Absolutely.
because generally we go into these things without choosing them. They choose us.
Absolutely. Yes, they choose
Like
us.
you wouldn't wish it on anyone,
No,
right?
we really wouldn't. But when you make
No.
it somewhere, you really want
You
to
wouldn't
share.
ask for it again, right? But
That's very true. Okay, so
so hopefully it's a good point.
let's circle back to your work. I want to ask you to talk a little bit about your work with dreams and the dream time. It's such a special place in my heart. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good. So you're a dreamer too,
I
huh?
am such a
Yeah.
significant role in my life.
Yeah, it has had for me too my whole life. You
Okay.
know, when I was a child, I had vivid dreams, and nobody, you know, if I tried to tell them to anybody, they just thought I was talking about the dirt. You know, they just didn't know what I was talking about. It was something so easily ignored and and just not even interesting to the people I tried. So then I learned it was just my private experience. So that's interesting right there. But when I met my spiritual teacher at the age of 24, and she had us writing down our dreams, talking about our dreams, she could interpret dreams like you can't imagine. You tell her this little thing that you had, which was, didn't make any sense to you, and she'd unfold the whole universe and tell you your whole history and your story and your past lives and everything else from that dream. It's like I thought, oh, okay, these are important. Yay. And so that's how I, decided I wanted to be with her. And then, of course, after I resigned from that ministry, she'd been dead for a while, and it was, the transformation of the whole organization that moved me on. But then it was Jung and dreams. So the dreams have been, definitely a through line, for me, that my interest in dreams. There's the private work that we do with the dreams. Like I was just describing about depth psychology. You look at your anxieties, you look at your fears, you look at the events in your life and the symptoms and all of that. But then there's this other more than private aspect of the dream that Jung was so articulate about, and that's where his split with Freud came. Freud couldn't go there with him about that. But so I'll tell you this. A dream analyst, I was in my office. This was, I don't know, 10 years ago in downtown Nashville, and I have these clients coming in one after another telling me their dreams. And I thought, oh my God, these dreams are meant for everybody. They're not meant for just me. Like, they tell the whole story. It's like these myths, these stories, these images, this art, that the dream will explain everything. I can remember one of them. There's so many, but one of them was a woman who had lived always next to the ocean in her dream, had lived always next to the ocean and had this connection. To me, the ocean is like the great unconscious, the great vast void, what's under the iceberg, as you say. It's like she had this connection to that. And then all of a sudden they built all these condos between her where she lived, and she could never see it was like in the dream, she could never see the ocean again. And I thought that, it was really hard for her to get to it or even remember that it was there. And that was her dream. And I thought, this is all of our dream right now. We can talk about how this is in your life personally right now, how you're disconnected from that whole dimension and that whole realm of life that is so much bigger than everything. But this is our story. And I would hear these dreams. It's like these stories need to be, we all need to understand what has happened through what the dreams are offering us. And so I was talking to my friend Jocelyn, and telling her, I'm hearing all these dreams, and I don't know what to do with them. They're not just mine. They're not just the dreamers. They belong to the public. What should I do? Should I write a book about this? I mean, but if I did, I'd have to get permission from all the different dreamers. That's kind of a complicated thing to bring into your therapy. Can I tell the whole world everything? So I thought that won't work. But Jocelyn's a genius. She said, this is what we'll do. We'll start the Dream Symposium, which is my free gift. And in the indigenous world, we were also talking about this, in the indigenous world, they get up in the morning and they all meet together. The village meets together and they listen to the dreams of the community. And that's how they know what's really going on. That's their morning newspaper. It's what is being reported in the dreams. And then they knew everything from the most practical, like when to plant, when to hunt, and all that. What from the most cosmological, how things were shifting in the cosmological area of their connection to the deities. And all of it was just like they would listen to the dreams. And I'd said, I wish I had a community where I could listen to everybody's dreams like this, and we could all hear each other's and share ours. So that's how we created the Dream Symposium, and we've been doing it every month for 10 years now. And there are people from all over the world who come and share their dreams, and then we kind of know what's going on in the collective dreaming mind. And so It's like this is how it's meant to be. We're meant to be getting our information and our news from the collective dreaming. And this is one thing we did, Amor, when I was in Egypt this time.
Okay.
I offered this to the community. If you want to tell me your dreams, at the end of the day, I'll tell you what everybody's dreaming. I'll give you sort of the stories and the images, just, the
Yeah.
sort of nuggets, the little snapshots. And so people were telling me their dreams all through the day as we were, having lunch or breakfast or walking around. And then in the evening, I would give like the nightly news. Here's what's going on. And the themes were so amazing. They were connecting with what we'd seen and what we'd done. Like ISIS was showing up in the dreams, and it's like it was just amazing. There were so many dreams. People kept losing their purses. So their identity was gone. They
Yeah,
couldn't find their old,
no wallet.
identity. It's gone. They have, what am I going to do now? So we kept that theme kept coming up, and finding the keys to things, locking things in, locking things out. I mean, it was just the and it, so then we all kind of understood how we were being addressed and how we were connected, and the themes that were running through from the ancient times to the us as a body of, individual coherence. It was just beautiful.
This
So,
makes me cry
oh, really?
with
Oh.
yes, because how often do we talk about or hear or feel, trying to find this unity, right? Trying to find this oneness, this idea of
Right.
oneness
Right.
that
Yeah.
somehow always seems to be about getting up and out and
Right.
much
Thank
more
you.
separate. No. How do we get more further in and connected and in the dream together? It makes me cry. In the
Yeah.
dream together, and the news, the real news that comes from the inside out of us, and not the outside in of separation and polarity and things outside of that. I mean, this is a way, this is a historical way. One of the things about the primal portal is it's about this ancient wisdom coming forward, being remembered, combined with this something new. It's
Right,
old.
yeah,
And
right,
it's
yeah,
the meeting of these things and
right.
how, right, we get to be in relationship with that and co-creative with that and hold that. And what a way, what a tangible, beautiful way to come together and be together and live. It's astounding.
Yeah, it was so meaningful to
Yeah.
all of us to share that
Yeah.
together and realize we're all one collective, like we were one organism in a
Yeah.
way. The separation is such an illusion. It's
Yes.
yeah,
Yeah.
it's one of our big illusions of the last, few years. Yeah.
I
Yeah.
just want to go. I just want to go and be on land and dream together and have you at the end of the day. I mean, this is
Yeah.
just astounding. It's not lost on me that, without making anything good or bad, right or wrong, it's not a judgment. It's just an interface. It's just a level of awareness and relationship and a decision that comes from a new level of awareness and relationship. And one of the things I noticed, really in reference to this idea of losing our purses, losing our wallets, going
Yeah,
through the
right.
door, the Ka that you were mentioning in Egypt, and your
Yeah.
identity and who you think you are can't come
Right.
through. It's like a shirt. It doesn't mean, the shirt is wrong for wearing a shirt, but it means you're wearing a shirt. You can take that off and on. It's not who you are.
Right.
And I've always felt that society, the way it's currently set up, certainly from the industrial age on anyway, our dreams have been very separate. We've been taught to dream separately, for our goals to be very individualized, is what I mean by that.
Yeah.
Our dreams to be very individualized. And sometimes we take that really far, right? And we forget to come back around that it's both. Anyways, I just love this. I love the whole concept. And what a gift to be in Egypt with something like this. I do have a quick question. Because I have a husband who dreams but doesn't remember that he dreams. He hasn't remembered a dream in over 20 years. And I hear
Oh,
this
wow.
from many people. And I'm just curious, if you've ever worked with someone or what you would say to someone that either has trouble recollecting their dreams, is there like a first step in the journey of becoming more aware of your dreams and more conscious with them that you would suggest for someone who wants to just start on this path?
Yes, I hear this a lot. It
Yeah,
happens to
okay.
a lot of people. And a lot of people, when they, hear this subject of dreams, is, but I don't dream. It's like, no, you really are dreaming. You're dreaming all the time. awaking and sleeping. The Aboriginal concept of the dream time is it's a dimension, talking about the different dimensions. It's a dimension of our existence. We and they step in and out of the dream time when awake. They think Western person has gone insane because we only dream when we're sleeping. But they, so that's just to know, for the person who doesn't remember their dreams of the night, that there are dreaming, that they're in that dimension is, the things they're drawn to, like the images I was talking to, the art that speaks to them, the of all the different bits of information on the news, the one that rivets you the most, there's something that's part of your dream, what you're working with there, those kind of things, the things that grab you in your world, it's all part of the dreaming. But if you want to remember dreams of the night, I always recommend for those who want to do it. Some don't even care to, and that's fine. It's like you don't need to do this, but get up in the morning and write down where you think you were while you were sleeping. What is the mood? What is the color? What is the fragrance? What is the anything that you can get? And it's like building a little muscle at the gym, it's like getting in connection with your waking conscious mind to the dreaming mind and to that dimension of yourself and the world, and trying to make it conscious, more conscious. So if you sort of make an intention and do the best you can or write it down, there's something about writing down anything that comes, like even if I was sitting in a classroom, well, there you go. That's a lot of information, right?
I have a very specific question about that. Is the physical writing important? Like, if someone were to get up and talk their dream into a transcription, is that different than the physical act of writing? Is there something to it? Because sometimes there is.
I think it's very individual. For me, it's the it I have to write it down, and it's something about the ink on the paper and the in my hand and the words that I have to find for that starts downloading the information of the dream. But Jocelyn, my colleague who does the dream symposium with me, she does all of hers in a voice recorder, and that to me is I wouldn't know how to find them, but she does. It's like whatever, she knows how to find her old dream from August of 2016. She can.
Oh, tech wizards, I love you all. I really
I
do.
know,
I'm so
aren't they
glad you're on the
great?
planet.
Yes, I'm so glad they exist in the world, but I'm not one of them.
Me neither.
So anyway, for me, I have dream journals. I have a 50 years of dream journals, and I can go back and pore through them, or just say, what was I dreaming when, this part of my life that I'm obsessed with right now, that something that happened, so if I go look at the dreams, it gives me a deeper sort of, I don't know, I just go back to my dream journals all the time.
That is
So,
incredible.
yeah, that's a really good question. It doesn't mean you're not dreaming, and it doesn't mean you're not part of the personal and collective dreaming mind, if you're not remembering them. And so I would, really encourage people not to stress about that because the dreaming is happening.
Oh, thank you. I agree. I've talked to my husband about it quite a lot, and he's really open to starting a practice where he can start remembering, and he understands that he does, but just for the life of him hasn't been able to remember so far. Okay. In light of where we are, early 2026 on planet Earth, and all that's going on right now, and all the things, all the feels, what we're all experiencing, I'd love to just hear from you why you really feel, what you feel this offers, this conversation, everything we're talking about, what you feel it offers to all of us right now. Like, why are these considerations so timely now?
That's a really good question, and I feel like that's really the point of your whole creation right here, and that's why I'm so happy to be a part of the conversation. It's so inspired, I think, that you're creating this conversation. But I would say the timeliness is so fascinating because when we look back at the ancient prophecies, they all point to this time. It's like this is a time of the ending of the old way, going into that void, dropping all of who we thought we were as a civilization, not just as an individual, not just our personal biography, but our national biography, our historical biography, all of it is like it's ready to go. And it's going to be uncomfortable, like we were talking about, right? It's not probably going to be a walk in the park. It's going to be uncomfortable. But when we look at the prophecies, I wrote some of them down and brought them here. I could describe them more than I will, but the Hopi prophecy pointed to this time exactly. And they said that we're entering the fifth world, we're leaving behind the fourth world where there was a lot of materialism and disconnection from nature, and now we're reconnecting now. And that was the same with the eagle and the condor prophecy, which is the most ancient prophecy. And they pointed it to it, this is the fifth Pachacuti for them, and it started in the 1990s, according to them. So we're right in the early stages of the next whole awakening. And there's a whole story that goes with that prophecy that's so beautiful about the heart now becoming the condor, connecting with the heart. And let's see, the Mayan calendar, that was supposedly ended on December 12th of what, 2012?
Well,
Yeah. So all these ancient prophecies said right now is the time that the old is breaking down, the new consciousness is being born. Even the book of Revelations in the Bible, talked about the new heaven and the new earth. And those who've done research on that say this is the time it was pointing to. This is the new earth that's being born, this new consciousness, born out of the decomposition of the old, the sort of letting go of the old. It's so timely to have these conversations and to make a relationship with the void and go through that primal portal, right?
Yes, because otherwise, the amount of fear, the amount of resistance, the amount of friction, we can choose another way. We each have that power of choice to be in more conscious relationship, right? To be in conversation and greater communication and have a different understanding of what's happening and our part in it, circling back to your beautiful dream collective, our connected part in it, our story of humanity. So important, so important.
It really is. It feels so wrong and so awful when things are breaking down, like when your marriage dies or your whatever, a death of a, whatever, any of it. It just feels so wrong. It's going to feel like that, but then we really have to keep this perspective of what's happening out of it all and how to live through it and support each other in it and keep our hearts together.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Hallelujah to that. It really I always liken it to an actual birth, right? There's the state of being pregnant, which is one known state. And then there's the birthing process, which has all of it, right? It's ecstatic, it's scary, it's painful, it's joyful, it's all of the things. And the more we resist, the more that we fear, the more constriction we bring to the experience, the less flow, the less blood, the more pain we experience. The more that we relax and open and say yes to the experience, even if it's overwhelming, even if it's scary, the more flow, the more blood, the more ecstasy, the more joy we experience in the process. But either way, you're entering a new state. You now live in a state with a baby outside of you, and no longer a state with a baby inside of you. And either way, there's coming to terms with a new state. And so that whole process, right, is happening at a collective level. It is huge.
Yeah,
It
that's
is
really, really
huge.
good image for it. Definitely a good image for it.
Tara, I adore you so much. Just before we begin wrapping up, I want to let everybody know you mentioned before that your free gift is access, an invitation to this monthly Global Community Dream Symposium. I can't wait, personally. Could you just share a little bit about this beautiful offering you're so generously gifting here for everyone?
Yes, I'm happy to do so.
Thank you.
Every month we're having one actually this Friday, but I know this is going to be recorded later. We have one every month on a Friday. It's 12 to 2 on in Eastern time. And people come from really all over the world, and we listen to each other's dreams. And we sort of get the flow of the messages that can be so amazing through the 2 hours, you know, the first dream, and then there's another dream of the, you know, the same kind of idea, and that the flow is just always amazing. And even if they're not all that connected, each one has a story. It's like each is a chapter in the story, you know, like a piece in the puzzle of what we're seeing. It's just phenomenal, and it's meaningful, and it feels like a It feels so important for us to know that we're connected this way. I mean, even just the idea that we're connected in the dream time is a transformation of consciousness right there. So everyone's invited. It's free. You can go to my website. There's a Dream Symposium page on my website, and you can just sign up for that, and you'll get the dates, and you'll get the links, and you'll get the recording after if you can't be there in person. Some people send me a dream if they can't be there in person, and I can read their dream in the into the symposium community. So everybody's welcome. And I would say if you go to my website on if you're interested, go to the first page, the home page, and sign up for my newsletter, because that's different from the Dream Symposium list. So sign up for my newsletter, and you'll get more about the dream groups that I'm starting, and the, you know, the different, I'm doing a course in the spring on dreams. So if you sign up for my newsletter, you'll get, I'm gonna start, it starts in May. It's a 5 week course about, dreams and Oracle.
Brilliant. And anywhere you are listening or watching this, all the links are going to be right there for you. So wherever you click to play, anybody listening, just look right underneath and the link is right there for you to get deeper in Tara's world, which I highly, highly recommend. Oh my goodness. Tara, thank you so much. Are there any closing thoughts that you really feel called to leave us with today?
Well, I just think in terms of our multidimensional beings, you know, to know that the suffering that we're seeing, you know, daily, you know, in our personal lives as well as in what's going on now in the our collective lives, that you know, that it's just so hard to hear and see, you know, what's happening. But to know that when we are, you know, setting this tone of love and transformation and connecting, that we are one body, and that we can like set the sound the tones of kindness, of harmony, of love for one another, a sense of care for one another, and that those frequencies are more powerful than what we're seeing in this other dimension, this third dimension, you know. It's like this is a lot of 3D suffering, but there's a lot of 5D and other dimensions of, you know, where we are connected and we can heal, and they will affect what's happening. You know, I was lying in bed in the middle of the night last night, just thinking about these babies that were just there were, you know, in Iran. This bomb went on this elementary school. It's just unbearable. I just cried just thinking about it. But I was just sending really, 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 and feeling the potency and the power of sending love to the families, to the souls that just passed over so quickly, that into all of them, and to know that that matters, you know, that it actually has a power to transform things, and that that's what we're going to do. And as we learn to work with that, this transformation is possible. It's possible. It's not at all hopeless. We're moving into a new consciousness, and in that consciousness, we're all united, and we can create and recreate through love and compassion and kindness and care with one another. And that's not just a fantasy, it's a reality that is so much more potent and powerful than you know, this the you know, like I'm saying, my own biography. This is our biography of the earth. It's all an illusion. We're, you know, we have this potential, and we can live it and trust it. So,
Oh, Taria. Oh, thank you. I agree and I amplify and I'm so grateful. Thank you. Thank you for bringing such depth, no pun intended, to your depth psychology. But truly, thank you for bringing such depth, such hope as well. Really, and such unity into this conversation, into this gathering, but into this moment in time that we are all in, that we are all in. It's kind of beautiful to remember that sometimes we don't have control, as you just mentioned, but we always have the power of choice.
And that's what these ancient prophecies said. This is a time of transformation, but we have to make the choice. It isn't going to happen automatically. We have to choose it.
And I think that's the most important takeaway. That is the most empowering and important takeaway for all of us to continue to remember, to continue to choose. We must make the choice, and every moment is your opportunity to choose. This is your moment. This is my moment. This is our moment to choose and choose again and choose again and choose again. All right. Oh, thank you, Taria. I adore you. Thank you for being here. Thank you. Thank
Oh,
you.
it's so mutual. I am so glad that we found each other, these souls on earth that, just I'm so grateful to know you, and this I just support your beautiful work in the world, and so much love to all your listeners and this whole community that you're creating through this beautiful event. What an honor to be a part of it and in conversation with you. So,
Thank you. Thank you, Angel. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, everyone here. I truly hope and pray this conversation inspires you and soothes you if needed, but really inspires you to stay open, to stay curious, to stay available to life, to all the many ways life is communicating with you, especially as we are moving through the unknown, as we are confronting the void together, together. Thank you so much for being here with us inside the Primal Portal. Just sending so much love and many blessings to you all.